With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Let's continue talking about the Lakers. They handled business game six, cruising to a 106-93 win in a game that was never in doubt. It's the Lakers' 17th NBA title and LeBron's fourth. LeBron finished the game with 28 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists on his way to winning his fourth finals MVP. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us this morning. Chris, we've had you throughout the championship. I ask you, how impressive was this championship for LeBron?
Well, it was incredible. And I'll start with the fact that it was his 17th season. I don't take that into account. I didn't take it into account when I made my MVP vote for Giannis because I don't think you should grade on a curve. But looking at it overall, the fact that he is still the best player in the world and able to lead his team to a championship at this stage of his career is unprecedented. I go back, you look at Kareem. In his 17th year, he averaged 23 points. But he was only averaging 6 rebounds at that point of his career. He just had the skyhook, which was unstoppable. Karl Malone, 22 points, 8.5 rebounds in his 17th year. But Utah goes out in the first round of the playoffs. So we have not seen a player play this well this late into his career. So that's number one. And I got to be honest. I never said it out loud because I wasn't certain of it. But there was a part of me that thought LeBron's done winning championships. I never bought into the he just came to L.A. to be in Hollywood and make movies. He wasn't trying to win. I thought he was trying to win, but I just felt like at this stage of his career, I'm not sure he's going to have enough to help lead a team or to lead a team to a championship. And obviously, he proved that wrong. Secondly, the bubble. Look, we saw Giannis and Paul George, and even the Clippers just fall apart mentally in the bubble. We heard those other two players I mentioned talk about how stressful it is. That to win, outlast everyone else in the bubble shows not only physical excellence, but mental excellence. You got Kobe. LeBron took it on his shoulders. He said, look, he told his teammates, it was reported, God gave me broad shoulders for a reason after Kobe died. So he was telling them, I'm going to carry us to a title. So to follow up on that, impressive. Obviously, the social justice stuff. So this was really impressive to me. I will say this, though. Basketball-wise, as far as the competition he faced, of his four titles, this was the easiest competition, obviously in the finals. But, you know, in 2012... He was down 3-2 to Boston in the conference finals in the East, had not yet won a title. So that was major pressure. And then they faced that really talented and young OKC team with the three future MVPs. And then after that, you got San Antonio. Obviously, that's tough. And then 2016, you got to come down from 3-1 against a 73-win Golden State team. So basketball-wise, this was the easiest path in the finals. But overall, this was incredibly challenging, and I'm impressed.
But for me is that how can a guy that's mentally fragile, because everybody, that's what everybody told you, Chris, this was why they weren't going to win the championship. Kawhi and the Clippers were more mentally tough than LeBron. And so for me, I'm just trying to figure out how does a guy that's so mentally fragile can go spend 95 days in a bubble when it broke damn near everybody else. Look at Milwaukee. Look at the Clippers. Look at guys. Oh, LeBron is already complaining. He talking about the living accommodation. They're talking about the food. Yada, yada, yada. Now all of a sudden he wins. Oh, it was the bubble. They didn't have to travel. First of all, we see what people are doing when they are not in a bubble. They don't even want to stay home. And you talk about you cannot leave. You got to remain there and do this for 95 days. So the mental game was much stronger for LeBron than a lot of people previously gave him. But Chris, to look at what this man did in year 17, he averaged 27, 11, and 9 throughout the entirety of the playoffs. He was 30, 12, and 8 and a half on 59% shooting and almost 40% from the three. And for a second, there are people talking about, well, he ain't the best player. Kawhi taking the shot. Kawhi chose to play with Paul George and Pat Bev over AD and LeBron. Chris, let that sink in. That's a special type of somebody right there that would do something like that. I want to compete against LeBron. Well, go compete. My guy's the GOAT now. My guy's the last guy standing, Skip Bayless. 30, you saw what he did last night, and that was ho-hum. Skip, you said that was ho-hum. 28, 14, and 10 is ho-hum. Chris, this man, his excellence is so great that he puts up a stat line like that, and people don't even blink. People like, okay, and he did 27, 12, and 9 the other night. He did this and this. That's what he's done. He's cleared a bar that nobody else has been able to clear. So if he goes up under that bar, even though that's a world record height, people say, well, that's not the original bar that he cleared. This was unbelievable what he was able to do mentally, physically, and emotionally. Because while he's in the bubble, he's still fighting for something bigger. The Breonna Taylors, the Jacob Blakes, the Ahmaud Arbery. He's still fighting those causes. He's still trying to get people to vote. Man, the toughest championship that's ever been won. He did it in the bubble.
That is the biggest bunch of malarkey I have ever heard from the other side of this table. And by the way, whatever weak GOAT argument you had a last dance when the last dance aired. That was the end. That was the last dance for your argument that he is the GOAT. Mm-mm. You can say it all you want, but in the end, what did we just witness?
Greatness.
We witnessed Chris Broussard told us up front, this finals is an epic mismatch. I concurred. That's what it was. The two best players on one team finally overwhelmed and overcame whatever masterpiece aberration performance Jimmy Butler gave you in two games of this series. I didn't expect it from Jimmy Butler. He's never done anything quite like this. Twice he did it, and they stole two games that you should not have lost. You should have won both those games. You should have swept this team. You were a prohibitive favorite in this series. They were 75-1 in the preseason to even get to the finals. That's by far the longest odds of any finals team since that stat has been kept. And this team in game one lost its leading playoff scorer, Goran Dragic. And it lost its heart and soul and its energizer, Bam, in game one. And he came back after a game and tried to play, and he was never quite the same. He didn't look like that guy I saw throughout the
Eastern
Conference
Playoffs.
That's
what AD do to people.
Oh, okay, yeah, AD. He's a tough guy.
Yeah, you saw that. Sucked it up with that ankle, had a bum ankle and sucked it up.
You got to play a team that was forced to play three rookies high minutes. Two of them started, and one of them, Tyler Hero, was the youngest player ever to play in the finals. And you are gloating about GOAT over there?
So the bubble
gloating?
So the bubble was a blessing to them because, as you mentioned, Chris, there was no crowd noise. There's a reason why young players don't play well when you have to go on the road, because the crowd are the visitors. So I don't care what you say, Skip Bayless.
I don't care what you say. The pandemic was the best thing that could have happened basketball-wise to your man LeBron, because he made an MVP push just before the quarantine and pandemic hit. And all of a sudden, he got almost 5 months off to refresh and revitalize and get ready for a great playoff run that broke perfectly for him.
But you told me he wasn't wearing down.
Oh, I did. I thought he was really going to wear down, and I think he was a candidate to get hurt down the stretch.
I can't tell.
I told you that the Clippers needed reps, R-E-P-S, and LeBron badly needed rest, R-E-S-T.
Clippers needed an intervention. Because from what you heard too, Chris Broussard, there was a lot of things that have nothing to do with reps. It had to do with chemistry. Because they looking at these two guys like, hey, we were just as good when y'all not here than you were when he was here.
So LeBron James got to sit back and say, the bubble? Thank you, God, for the bubble. Because I don't have to travel at age 35. No flights. I can go 5 minutes to the arena and everybody else is screwed up in the bubble except me, because I got a chance to go steal my fourth ring, and that's what he did.
Chris, before you go, Chris, who else was it? So the Lakers were the only team that's not having to travel in the bubble, right? So everybody else had to travel. They had to go from L.A. and come back to the bubble.
Clippers did not even want to travel to the bubble in the first place.
Because they knew. They knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
They didn't want to see Goat James.
Yeah. Your ring should say, should have an inscription on the inside that says, avoided Clippers. You didn't have to deal with Kawhi and Paul George and Doc Rivers, because you would have lost to them, because even Vegas said you would have lost, because they were the favorites going into the playoffs. And Chris Broussard, my friend, picked them before the playoffs.
That tried to get Chris.
I had picked the Clippers, but I had come to believe, and I had said it on another show, I had come to believe that the Lakers were going to beat the Clippers. Because the Clippers just weren't right. Now, we'll see if they can get right next year, but they clearly weren't right this year. I'm going to say this, too. And it's always going to be a factor in the GOAT discussion, and rightly so. But I do think the narrative on LeBron needs to shift, because this, what happened against Dallas in 2011 sticks with him, where he just melted down in those finals. And from that point on, a lot of people have looked at him as not mentally tough. But Shannon, you pointed out a lot of good things. That should change, because Magic Johnson melted down in 1984 and had been swept in 1983 by Philadelphia.
Yes.
Then melted down in 84. They were calling him tragic. That doesn't stick with Magic. We don't look at Magic as, oh, he was mentally fragile. You know, we look at him as a great winner. Isaiah Thomas threw the bad pass that Larry Bird stole in 87 in the Eastern Conference Finals. We don't look at Isaiah as, oh, he's mentally fragile. We look at him as a dog and a tough winner.
Absolutely.
We got to start looking at LeBron like that. He learned from what happened in 2011. And since then, he has been tough-minded. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And when he passes up a shot at the end of a game, it's his game. It's not because he's scared. We can argue over whether he should take the shot, but it's not because he's scared. It's because that's how he plays. He's going to find the open man. So I think that does need to shift now on LeBron.
Yeah.
So let's just scrub his resume, right?
No, we ain't got to do that.
Let's expunge.
Nah. What did I tell you? Chris, what did I tell you? Lakers. Tyler Hero, superhero, guitar hero. Lakers in six.
Chris, thank you. Good stuff today. It has been a wild ride for the Lakers. We'll check in with you again very soon.
No mercy.
Dak Prescott suffered a compound fracture and dislocation of his ankle while being tackled in the third quarter in yesterday's win against the Giants. Dak was carted off and immediately taken to a hospital where he underwent a successful surgery. Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick joining us this morning. Oh, Mike. It's just devastating. What was your reaction when you saw this injury to Dak?
It was tough. It's tough to watch. I was distraught. Just like Dak's teammates, in disbelief. I was in disbelief. And, you know, I actually shed a tear because I thought about Dak's road traveled and how he got to this point. It's been nonstop ever since his rookie year, ever since replacing Tony Romo. You know, he's had to come in and fulfill his obligations and duties that he probably wasn't expecting, being a fourth round pick. A lot was handed to him and put on his plate, and I think he handled it extremely well. Whether positive or negative scrutiny or press, you know, Dak was a stand-up guy, man. And selfishly, I wanted to see how this story was going to end with Mike McCarthy and this team in the 2020 season. But God had a different plan for that. things happen for a reason. And I think this would be a time for him to kind of step back, reboot, refresh, and look at, you know, 2020 as the learning experience, the learning opportunity, and get ready for 2021. But certainly it was tough to watch, man. I definitely shed a tear for Dak yesterday because I felt that moment in 2003 when I broke my ankle. And, you know, my teammates rallying around me and you know, everybody want you to be out there and want to compete and fight for you, but it's all over. That's the tough part about the game. And, you know, sometimes that's what football presents, and we got to accept it and move forward.
And Skip and I was just talking up here. I said, Skip, if I'm not mistaken, I think Mike broke his ankle too. It was a preseason game against Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Preseason game against Baltimore.
How long were you out, and what was your recovery like?
It wasn't as severe as Dak's injury. So I think I just had a clean fracture. And I was out 3 months. I came back and played, finished the season. We actually finished 3-1 that year. But, you know, I fought really hard to get back. You know, we had lost maybe like 7 or 8 games in a row, and, you know, the organization was in turmoil. So I fought really hard to get back, and fortunately, the injury wasn't as bad as we thought it would be. So I was able to get back out there. But at the same time, just rallying for my teammates, man, and just wanting to get back to compete for the love of the game was my motivation. So I think all of this, Dak has to find some positive. And now, like I say, he has a chance to refresh and reboot and think about what's next in 2021.
Michael, how did yours happen? How did you break your ankle?
True story. Running from Ray Lewis.
Huh?
You know, in a preseason game. And, you know, just shed some light on the situation in a positive. You know, I always think about this story. You know, didn't want to play in preseason, going against my coach, you know, thinking I know everything. Dan Reeves telling me, listen, playing 2 quarters is what I want you to do. That's what you're going to do. I'm like, coach, we don't need to play 2 quarters. I go to Ray Lewis and ask him for the game, how long y'all playing? He's saying, as long as you're going to be out there. And I'm like, what you doing? And so, you know, every possession, Ray was sitting there, he was watching. He was looking like coming back out. And every time I got back on the field, he came back out there. And just trying not to play hurt. You know, just trying to get through a game and not giving it 100% effort. He led to my demise that day, and it's very difficult.
I think you got tackled similar to what I think Adalius Thomas tackled you from the back. It happened pretty much the same. If I'm not Skip, as a matter of fact, Skip, that was 2003, right?
2003.
Yeah. Because I remember watching it on television, and you got tackled very similar. But Mike, you the same thing. I was like tears started to well up because I know what's going through. I know what's going through his mind. It's like because I hate the franchise tag. It's almost like when people are like, well, no, Shannon, they give you. Dak wanted long-term security. He says, guys, I've been here for 4 years, and I had the third year, you made me go out there and prove it. Last year, I had to go out there and prove it. And so now here I am, fifth year. There are only so many times that you can tempt fate before fate bites you, because you know, Mike, playing that position, you get caught in different situations. Quarterbacks are not used to falling like a wide receiver because they know, you know, certain things like that. But when he went down, I automatically knew what it was because I've been tackled like that before and tore ligaments in my ankle. So I knew, and that's why they outlawed the horse collar, because Roy Williams, Skip, remember for the Cowboys, he broke T.O.'s ankle in the very same way. And he did, if I'm not mistaken, he broke a guy, either tore both knee ligaments or broke both legs from Tennessee Titans doing that. And so they outlawed that. But I knew once he jerked him down and put all his weight, that inside leg had no chance.
Mm. So, Michael, as a lifelong Dallas Cowboy fan, what was so devastating to me was Dak has been as durable as any quarterback in the league for 4 years, has not missed a start, has not appeared on an injury report. I think he was out for 2 plays against the Falcons earlier this year to get examined for a concussion, and that was it. So he takes off on a quarterback draw, and he's challenged by a defensive back, Logan Ryan, who's about 5'11", 195. Dak goes 6'2". What do we give him? 235, 240. And it's face-to-face confrontation. It's not from behind grabbing him unexpectedly with the horse collar. Right. And yet Logan Ryan challenges him and goes up and gets a hold of him and somehow yanks on him hard enough that the ankle gets caught up under both their feet. And not only does it break, it compound fractures and comes through the skin and it dislocates the ankle. So we got one gruesome glimpse of the ankle sideways. The foot is sideways, obviously, the way it's not supposed to be.
Right.
And it was so, it took me 15 minutes to even compute what had happened because Dak Prescott just doesn't get hurt. And that was not the kind of play. If you give me 100 possibilities of he'll get hurt on this kind of play, I would have bet against that kind of play.
He was, Skip, the thing was that when he was scrambling, he had the ball in his right arm.
Yep.
So he tried to switch it to his right.
Yep.
And he wasn't able to extend because he was trying to extend. And so that's why the guy was able to get close enough to him and pulled him down and drop all of his weight because he's like, Dak's a big guy. If I try to waist tackle him, he's probably going to run through it. So let me get something I can secure him with. He grabs at the top of his jersey and all of his weight comes down.
Okay, I got it. But what usually happens to a quarterback, a 300-pounder falls on him and something goes, right?
Yep.
A knee, a shoulder blade, something breaks, and a collarbone.
And what did they do in the pocket, Skip? That's why they don't allow defenders to drop their weight on the quarterback.
Yep.
Because they're so vulnerable, they're so fragile. Shoulders, that's how they separate the shoulder, dislocate their shoulders, is because if the guy lands his weight on him. And that's just what, if it's a freak accident, but man, it just goes to show you just how volatile this game is. Any given play, and your season can be over.
So, Michael, what do you figure, what odds do you give him to come back 100% from what you know of this injury?
After watching Alex Smith, and shout out to Alex Smith, get back out on the field and fulfilling his dreams of playing football again, I think that's Dak's motivation right there. So I think he'll come back 100%. You know, we don't know the timetable. I think he has to take his rehab seriously and just work diligently to get back. So I expect to see Dak back in the Dallas Cowboys uniform 2021, full throttle, and leading the charge.
Michael, good point. Alex Smith, that was a beautiful moment, and we are just hoping the same for Dak Prescott as he begins his recovery journey. Mike, we appreciate you. We'll check in soon.
No mercy.
The official outfit of the GOAT.
LeBron down the middle, behind his back, spin to the rim, spectacular layup by LeBron.
Oh.
LeBron on a breakaway, slam dunk.
Go, 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 go.
Strong drive to the basket by LeBron.
Okay.
20-footer good. And he's just pouring it on now.
If he gets a fourth ring with a third team and win finals MVP, the mouth's gonna shut.
The Lakers give us something to remember forever.
Woo! In here, baby.
The Lakers are the world champion.
We have been waiting all day for this. He's surprised. From
LeBron. LeBron right here. Get it up.
Be careful.
Hey, we do this.
He might bite.
No, he don't bite.
Shake. Play. Shake.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Look at that go. Look at that go. Yeah, we do this.
Shake.
There you go, buddy.
Wow.
Yeah, look, you got a LeBron jersey, though. That old fake goat you gave me for my birthday a couple years ago.
Yeah.
This is the real goat.
The real goat.
Look at that. He got a crowd and everything. Spanky, you've been unbelievable. Look at that. You want to know? That's my guy. It's my guy. Look at that. That's a real goat, Skip Bayless.
You know what a little bird told me?
What'd he tell you?
This goat's real name is Michael.
No, it ain't.
Michael. That's what they call him, Michael.
You did great. You did great, buddy. Oh, my God. Spank, you've been unbelievable. I got no more treats, but you've been unbelievable. You the real goat. You my guy. You my guy. You
I'll
my
take
guy.
Him, Shannon.
Come on. Come on.
Can we have a goat every day on the show? Spanky, good job. Good job, Shannon. Thank you for that.
That take you back to your barnyard?
Yes.
What is your surprise that you've been talking about?
Oh, I got another treat too, Spank, but we'll get that one a little later. Yeah. Get a little later, Spank. A little later.
Boy, that goat is really small.
No, don't do this.
They're small.
That fake goat you gave me with that Michael Jordan jersey.
Really?
That's the real goat.
Well, speaking of fake, I have a gift for you.
What you got?
I've got an authentic cubic zirconia ring. I got one right here. This is real cubic zirconia. Oh. It's 100 fake diamonds in honor of you beating the fake Miami Heat in an epic mismatch.
Skip, the Heat was a very well coached, a very well disciplined team.
I'm gonna put it right here. That's 100 diamonds. All of them cubic zirconia. Way to go. It's beautiful. It deserves to be a pinky ring.
If you wear it with your head held up. If I wore this, nobody's going to think it's fake. Well, nobody's going to think it's fake because I'm real.
But you know and I know
it's
fake.
Oh, I can't
wait. Know and I know you beat a team that was the fifth seed in the East.
Guess what? You know what we're going to do, Skip? We're going to get our rings next year, and we're going to beat them bum Clippers.
Okay.
That's what we doing opening night.
If you do that, if you beat them in the Western Conference Finals, you get real rings.
No. First of all, Skip. We got to celebrate this year's victory before we worry about next year's victory. Mm. So what we're going to do opening night when the season starts and we get our big rings and they drop number 17 and the finals MVP walks out there last.
Cubic zirconia.
You're a hater.
Thank you, Jenny.
Pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Guys, can we please get back to LeBron and the Lakers? I enjoyed the surprises. But here's the situation. LeBron has won his fourth finals MVP, and it was last night and was the first to do so with three separate teams. After the win, LeBron had a message to his doubter. Skip, you listen up to this.
We just want our respect. Rob wants his respect. Coach Vogel wants his respect. Our organization wants their respect. Laker Nation wants their respect. And I want my damn respect, too. No matter what I've done in my career up to this point, there's still a little rumblings of doubt or, you know, comparing me to, you know, the history of the game. And has he done this? Has he done that? You know, so having that in my head, having that in my mind, saying to myself, why not still have something to prove? Yeah, I think it fuels me.
Well, Skip, what do you make of LeBron saying these things?
I was shocked that LeBron James, twice after last night's game and winning his fourth ring, publicly acknowledged all the doubt that's out there about him. Some of it emanates from this side of the table, but a lot of it emanates from everywhere.
Yes.
There's lots of doubt about LeBron.
From former players.
From a lot of people, inside and outside basketball.
Yes.
I think there are a lot of fans, not Laker fans, maybe some Laker fans earlier this year.
Yeah.
Because you have to become a made man. You have to show them.
You got to validate them.
Okay. And I was happy for Laker fans last night, just for them.
Yes.
Maybe not for him.
But what about for me?
I was happy he finally won something on the show. That was nice to see. But think about the magnitude of this man that you've written off everybody else as GOATs except this man for years. For 4 years on this show, you've said he's the greatest player in the history of this game. For 4 years on this show, you have made the case that he's still the best player on this planet.
Yes.
And even after year 17, still the best player on this planet.
He is currently, yes.
And the best player had to say last night, I want my damn respect.
Yes.
And because you always put him, wrongly, in the Jordan conversation, I thought, I covered Michael Jordan, and I could not have imagined Michael Jordan winning a ring and then saying, I want my damn respect. He got it.
Exactly.
And he knew it.
Even before he won the ring, Skip, they gave Michael Jordan the respect. And just, it would have been very interesting if we had what we have today as far as social media, 24-hour news cycle, and the critique of Michael Jordan was like it was of LeBron James. It would have been very interesting to see. Michael Jordan has never had to fight, even though it took him 7 years before he won his first title. He never had to fight for legitimacy like LeBron James has.
Okay. So what does that tell you? He was just universally acknowledged as the greatest player who ever played any sport, the greatest competitor, the greatest clutch scorer.
But I thought you had to win titles before you could get that title bestowed upon you. They bestowed that upon him when Michael and Larry and Isaiah were winning all the titles. How do you get to be the best player in the world and you got no titles? That's what y'all said about LeBron.
Because when Michael was a freshman at a school you love, North Carolina, he made the shot of shots to beat a great Georgetown team in the NCAA finals. He was the one who made the clutch shot.
Skip, you do realize James Worthy, who was the first pick in the draft, was on that team. Mm-hmm. Sam Perkins, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the top five pick on that team.
Dallas took him.
Jimmy Black.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Skip. Come on.
Okay,
they were loaded.
Who did Dean Smith call the last play for? Michael Jeffrey
Skip,
Jordan,
because,
then known as Mike Jordan.
Skip, because he knew they were going to double. Skip, Big James Game Worthy had gone off.
Mm-hmm.
He had 28 that night.
Yeah.
He had gone off.
But you want to talk about a baby goat? He was still like 19 years old.
Skip, all the man is saying is like, look, even with all the expectations that I've come into this league with everything that I've done, the 13 all-NBA first teams. Nobody else has more than 11. I have 13. The finals that I've gone to, the MVPs, the finals MVPs, leading my team in scoring for 16 straight years, leading my team in assists. He said, guys, you still have doubts. Even though I've hit more game-winning playoff buzzer beaters than any man in NBA history.
He's also missed them.
You still, exactly, you got to take them.
Mm.
And then people say, well, if LeBron had taken that shot on Friday and he missed it, I could live with it. The way you do it, Skip, is that you make the right play and you live whatever the results that may come with it. That's how it works. You can't have the luxury of saying, well, he missed it, it was a bad shot. If he makes it, it's a good shot. Michael trusted Steve Kerr. That's what you have to do.
And but he called the play in the huddle.
But he had to trust him still,
Skip. But he told him, it's coming to you because Stockton's going to come double me and I'm going to kick it right to you. He had a 17-foot wide open, right. Basically a free throw.
Skip, the guy was 8 feet away from Danny Green. 8 feet away. Before Steph Curry, Danny Green had the most threes in an NBA Finals in NBA history before Steph Curry broke it. So don't make it seem like that was Dwight Howard shooting the ball, Skip.
What were they wearing? Mamba jerseys.
Yes.
They were what? Were they 4-0? Yeah, 4-0 in Mamba jerseys.
They're 4-0 in those.
This is up to you to channel Kobe Bryant and go up and pull a Kobe off. You got to take the shot. Would Kobe have kicked it out to Danny Green?
Yeah, but
no.
There's one against Chicago on Christmas Day that Kobe went up over four guys and Derek Fisher was wide open in the corner and he missed it.
This was for all the marbles.
Skip.
This is to close out the heat in the championship.
If they lose this series, and that would you have a legitimate point. But they won and going away. The game was never close. After the score was 28-20 at the end of the first quarter, that game never got within what, Skip? Never got within 15 except the final score.
I told you, I thought he could have put an exclamation point on his greatest finals performance ever. He had scored 40 points at that point. He had a hot hand from three. He had a rare hot hand from the free throw line.
He had a hot hand from everywhere.
Just make the shot. Just take it up high off the glass. Get fouled. Go to the free throw line. Make the two free
throws. First of all,
show me you can go make free
throws. First of all, the man averaged 30, 12, and 9. So he had a hot hand the entire series.
Mm.
He averaged 27, 11, and 9 for the entirety of the playoffs. And close our games. We saw what he did against Portland.
Mm-hmm.
We saw what he did against Houston. We saw what he did against the Nuggets. We saw what he did last night. What else? Okay, I just want to know so I can relay this to him.
Okay.
What else does he need to do?
Going into Friday night's game, in back-to-back games, which have been games 3 and 4, he had 14 total turnovers. Mm-hmm. It's just wrong, wrong, wrong. So, yeah, there were rumblings of doubt about him. If you look at his fourth quarter three-point shooting dating back through the first four games of the Heat series, all the way back through the Nuggets series, all the way back through the Rockets series, he was 2 for his last 23 from three in all those fourth quarters. Rumblings of doubt. There are always rumblings of doubt.
Skip. So are we not? So we just gonna gloss over when Mike was up 3-0 on Supersonics and shot 5 of 22 and shot 6 of 19.
He had two bad games and then he said that's enough.
Oh, Skip, you talking about two bad games? You were talking about a quarter for LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You said he had because he missed, but he was the leading scorer in fourth quarters.
Who was the MVP of that series? Jordan.
Jordan. Who's the MVP of the series?
Mm.
Who's the MVP?
You could have made a case for AD.
No, you could have made
those.
What kind of case is that? You
a must plus be minus
to get,
case?
You trying
How
to
about
get
a plus
convicted.
Minus?
You must be trying to get convicted.
Mm-mm.
Did you see what he did on Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I saw he turned down the last shot.
And guess what?
Did you see what AD did in game three to Jimmy Butler? He just took the game over. He controlled him.
Who took Jimmy Butler last night? Who took him last night?
Boy, I saw AD on him quite a bit.
No, you didn't, Skip. Don't do that. You saw Go James open the game up with it. Gimme him. Gimme him.
He was done.
Yeah,
Tank was empty.
Skip, that's what we do. But look at my guy. My guy's how many more years older than Jimmy? Had played how many more games? How many more minutes? And came back. Jimmy was on fumes. My guy came and gave you 41 minutes last night.
All I know is if you publicly admit there's widespread doubt about you, your GOAT case is canceled.
Skip, it's over. Skip.
Done.
Skip.
That's all you need to know.
Just because,
thank you, LeBron. Yeah, you closed the case for Jordan.
Just because you acknowledge what everybody knows, he knows, you know, people know, they know who they are, that they were secretly rooting against him because it would further validate their case that he's unclutched and he's not this. But now he has a fourth ring with a third different team. There is nothing they can say. There is nothing else left to say but to bow down.
To bow down to 4-6? So now we're worshiping sub 500 in the finals?
Has anybody ever done what he did? Has anybody ever?
I don't.
Have anybody ever won four final MVPs with three different teams? A simple yes or a simple no. In the 80-year history of the NBA.
Has anybody gone 6-0 in the finals with six MVPs? A simple yes or no?
No.
Thank you. Case closed. Next question.
I tried to figure out after 15 years why he only went six times. Bill Russell went 11 times in 12 years.
He got sent home for a couple of those years or he would have gone eight straight
times. Why he ate his head? Why he got to recharge? My guy ain't never recharged.
No mercy.
The Cowboys now lead the NFC East at 2-3, but will have to continue the season without Dak Prescott after he underwent ankle surgery last night. Three-time Pro Bowler Andy Dalton will now take the starting role for the Cowboys. Dalton has had four double-digit winning seasons as a starter, but is also 0-4 in playoff games. So, Shannon, will the Cowboys win the NFC East?
Skip, this division is awful. And, you know, they're going to win by default. Probably 7 wins. Oh, no, 6-10 might win you this division. Their defense just gave up 34 points to a team that averages 12 points a game.
I got it.
You see what the Washington football team, Skip. Alex Smith is a great comeback story, but Skip, he can't hold up. Skip, he's, I mean, come on. You're putting yourself in harm's way. You can't protect yourself. They sacked him, what, 7-8 times yesterday? He threw the ball 18 times and had 37 yards. It's a great story, Skip. And I just don't know if the Eagles can stay healthy enough, long enough to string the, even in a loss, yesterday, the Eagles looked better than any point in time that I think they've looked. Now, defensively, they didn't play particularly well.
I thought they had their moments.
Listen,
Chase Claypool, I think he's going to be a star.
Hey, somehow Pittsburgh seemed to find all the receivers. They can find them, can't they?
Hey, remember, he's 6'4", 240?
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
They thought he was a tight end. He's a wideout. Okay, so they got their Metcalf.
Right, and you put him with Juju, and they got another receiver. I think Washington is hurt right now.
Yeah. I thought he was out there. Did he get hurt?
He might be. Ebron. Skip, they're offensively.
Whew.
And they rush the quarterback. They do a good job putting pressure on the quarterback. And Andy Dalton, in terms, he's the second best quarterback in that division behind Carson Wentz now. He's been a starter.
Yes.
He's won games. He's taken teams to the playoffs. So, yes, right now they are in the proverbial catbird seat to win this division. But, Skip, this will go down as the worst division in NFL history.
I would agree. And right now, for the sake of this topic, I don't care because I have to deal with somebody has to win it and somebody's going to get a home playoff game. And all of a sudden, I think it's my team. And again, you can call me delusional, but I actually saw some signs of life yesterday from my team. Jalen Smith played maybe his best game as a Cowboy. They actually took it away on defense and scored with it defense. They actually got some breaks and some bounces yesterday they haven't been getting. They actually pulled the game out in the end, something they have not been doing all year. And don't give me Atlanta because that was just a miracle.
Right.
Okay, so I look at the schedules of the Cowboys and Eagles, what's remaining, and right now the Eagles are better than the Cowboys. But right now I look at remaining schedule, your Eagles, it is rough, and it gets rougher. They got Baltimore next. I don't think they can win that game. Then they have three games that they might be able to win. But then it goes at Cleveland, Seahawks, at Green Bay, Saints, at Arizona, which they might or might not win. Then at Dallas, which I think Dallas can win. It shapes up that Dallas might be able to pull out a 9-7, which I said when the day they signed Andy Dalton, I said he's a 9-7 kind of starter.
They're not getting a 9 win.
You don't think
more,
so?
More, but like 8, maybe like 8-8. Eight,
well,
eight top.
You know what?
But that's it. But like you said, you win the division at home.
I got Philly going 6-9-1 right now against this schedule. It is hard.
And y'all might be 7-9 and win the division.
Okay. Well, we well might. But that means you get a home playoff game and you probably get blown off your own.
Yeah, you go home.
Right?
Okay.
You're probably going home, but that's not what we're talking about.
You're probably going to see because nobody. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Y'all going home, Skip.
Okay. Did you see my new man, and this is no disrespect to Dak Prescott because I love him, but again, he's not Dak, but he's not bad. Did Andy Dalton not make two great throws at the end of the game?
Yeah, he threw the ball unbelievable, Skip. But I think the thing is, it's easier for you when you come off the bench because they took no reps looking at Andy Dalton. Everything was about Dak Prescott. So now moving forward, team, now Skip, the zone read and the quarterback draws that you like to see, those are gone.
Yep.
Andy Dalton is a pure drop-back quarterback.
Yep.
We know exactly where he's going to be. Teams know exactly where he's going to be.
Okay.
And they will play him accordingly.
Okay. Did you see my man CeeDee Lamb emerge yesterday and just take over the game?
Yeah, CeeDee played great.
Yep.
Amari just had I don't know what's going on with Amari Cooper.
He had one big catch late from Andy Dalton.
Skip, I ain't paying you $20 million a year for no one big catch.
Okay. But if he draws double coverage – or if CD starts to draw double coverage, guess who's open? Michael Gallup.
Well, they normally put Michael Gallup to the backside by himself. He plays the X. Amari Cooper is the Z, and CD Lamb plays the slot.
Lots.
So a lot of time, Gallup is on the backside by himself. And so if you play over the top coverage on one side, that means Gallup's one-on-one on the backside. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see him catching a lot of balls, Skip, because there's no underneath coverage and there's nobody to help over the top. And that's why he's getting – so he's he could – Gallup might be the guy, Skip, because he's the guy that's going to see the least amount of roll coverage or double coverage.
Okay. Could we quickly see those two throws from Andy Dalton to Michael Gallup that won the game? Because these are extraordinary to me.
This is a big-time throw.
This is rolling. You're on a dead run right and throw it across your body and hit him right on the boundary, and he manages to get both feet in bounds. It was very close, but he pulled it off.
Yeah.
And then we go deep ball. Straight drop back as far as
nice
you can
air.
Fling it and gets it up in the air for him to go up and snatch it up high.
People don't realize how difficult a catch that is, what he just made. To reach back over his shoulder and high point the ball there.
Oh, wow. I'll take him. That's all I got.
Who y'all play next week? Who you
play
got next
Arizona
week?
On Monday night at home.
Oh, I got Arizona.
Yep.
I got Arizona right now. I want it right now for a case. I want it right now for a case.
Let me think about it.
No, don't think it. I want it right now for a case.
Let me think about it. Because Kyler's on the way to becoming the GOAT, right?
No mercy.